Welcome back to the American Dream Podcast. This week, Eneida Roman joins us on the show. Eneida is the co-founder turned CEO of Amplified Latinx. They are a nonpartisan collaborative convener advancing Latino leadership, representation, economic prosperity, and civic engagement. Today, we talk about what led Eneida to create Amplified Latinx, why she made the switch from practicing lawyer to CEO, and what Amplify Latinx is focused on right now to open more doors for all Latinos. And there's a special surprise of my connection with Amplify Latinx. Please listen to the show. Welcome to the show, Eneida.
Gracias. Thank you, Elias.
No, I think Amplify Latinx has a special place in my heart, and I'll tell you a little bit about it in a second. But first, tell us a little bit more about Eneida.
Of course. Well, Eneida Roman, born and raised in San Juan, Puerto Rico. When I was in college, I studied organizational psychology. I went to undergrad and graduate school in Puerto Rico. And then I said, you know what? Let me combine this with something else. So then I decided to go to law school. And that's when I made the jump to Boston with the idea that I was going back to Puerto Rico because all my family's there. That's all I knew my entire life. But I fell in love with Boston. I was like, you know, this is a really cool city. And it was close enough to Puerto Rico that I felt like, you know, I could take a direct flight back home and not a problem. And then all of a sudden, 25 years later, I was still here.
Wow.
So, you know, it's my second home. I married a Bostonian, and you know, and I'm happy.
Americano, Americano.
Americano, sí.
Wow, Americano, sí.
Yeah, good guy. You know, he loves, but you know, he loves everything Latin. He thinks he's Latin. I'm like, no, you're not, but okay.
No, you're not, but we welcome you.
But we welcome you. We welcome you with open arms, yeah. You know? And
he loves nice. You. Yeah.
Exactly. Just like I'm not, you know, I'm Bostonian, but I'm not, you know.
So,
and I love Boston. You know, and my parents are still waiting for me, but then what they do is they come visit. In fact, my mom is visiting right now. But in any case, I started a career in law here in Boston. And of course, I always apply the organizational psychology background because it's incredibly useful for everything in life. And so as I started as a young attorney, I felt that it was somewhat alienating, right? Because when you come from a place where everybody's like you and, you know, and like everybody speaks the language, everybody, you know, like you're not a minority, you're just like everybody else. But then I moved to Boston and I felt like there were not a lot of people like me. I just had this hunger, this craving for community, right? And so I approached a colleague that you know, that was in my same space as a young attorney, and you know, and I proposed this idea that, you know, that I had when I was with other Latina attorneys at the national level through the Hispanic National Bar Association back in the, you know, early mid 2000s. I was involved with the Hispanic National Bar Association, and the Hispanic National Bar Association commissioned a study around Latinas in the law, very similar to the American Bar Association. The American Bar Association has the Commission for Women in the Law. And so the HNBA, the Hispanic National Bar Association, created the Latina Commission. And so I was appointed as the commissioner, and the study basically demonstrated a few, you know, basic tenets around Latinas in the law. First, we are few and far between because only 2% of all attorneys are Latinas. So we need more Latinas in the profession, especially given that demographics are shifting significantly, right? And then also, you know, it addressed the cultural issues and how in our culture, Latinas are expected to do so much for their families, but also are expected to succeed professionally. And last but not least, it addressed the need to make sure that we had champions and mentors within our own community. And so using those recommendations, you know, we figured that we would launch something in Boston, but not just dedicated to Latina attorneys, because if it was only Latina attorneys, it would be like, you know, five of us, right? So, I mean, I'm joking, there are more of us, but yeah. It would have been a very small group. So we decided to broaden the pool of people that we included, and we included all Latina professionals that we knew in Boston. But we wanted to make it a very intimate experience, so we tested with an initial group of approximately 50 women. And what we did is that we invited them, and we said, "You're a woman on the go, bring a woman on the rise," right? Because it's the mentoring component was very important to us. It's not just about us, you know, championing each other and sharing best practices, but also bringing up the next generation of Latinas, because we know our community is a young community, and we can't forget about the next generation. We wanted to make that a core element of the work that we did. And, you know, I'm proud that that's what we've always focused on, right? Like lifting up the generation of leaders, but also looking at the next generation and making sure that they're included in the equation.
Right, right. No, I love that a lot. But you're saying that is what started Amplify Latinx?
Yes. Jeez. Yes.
That's what I want.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
Betty and I are co-founders. And so we had hired, I mean, we were both practicing law. So, you know, we were both like, all right, you know, we're going to hire somebody. We stay in our jobs and we focus on, you know, on the work that we do. You know, I was running my own firm. She was working with Sports Club LA. And then she went to work with a nonprofit. We were both like, no, other people can do this job. You're like, we have our jobs, you know, we're lawyers. Then last year, our inaugural executive director, she took another job closer to home. And I was chairing the board at the time. And as you probably know, you know, if you're chairing a board, like you kind of have to dive in, because I was like, okay, we have obligations, right? We have grants that we need to fulfill and whatnot. And I hired individuals who were, you know, who were supporting this transition and this search for new leadership. And one day, and I kept on obviously, you know, running my firm, and my, you know, doing my work, my law practice. And one day the executive committee approached me and they were like, oh, what do you think? And I was like, we're looking for somebody. And they were like, well, you know, I think you would be really good at this. And I was like, I know I have passion for this, but this is not my job, right? Like for some reason, I always saw myself as a co-founder and, you know, and as a board member, but not as an employee. And other people had actually also approached me and asked me the same, like, you know, listen, you've really stepped into this role. And I mean, you should really think about this. And I swear, Elias, I was like, no, like, I'm going to find somebody else, you know, like it's okay. Cause I know how much work it is. I mean, I know it's a very, you know, we are very ambitious in our goals and our aspirations and the work and the commitment that we have, right? So I just saw myself as continuing to steward the board and, you know, and help with the fundraising and all of that. And they were like, you know, it's very similar, like, just think about it, right? And so I spoke to my husband and I said, you know, like, they're thinking that I should do this. And you're like, what do you think? You know, because my identity has been tied to law for so long that I just didn't see myself doing something else. Right. And he was like, why not? Like, this is your baby. Like, you love it. Like, cause I always kind of, I was never too visible cause I was so busy doing my law work that I was never very visible outwardly. You know, internally I did a lot of work, but you know, it takes a lot of time to be out there and promoting and whatnot, right? So people that knew that I was engaged, and people that knew the organization, but the outside world didn't really know. And it's because really honestly I just didn't have the time to be out there as much because I was busy doing other things. So I said, well, you think, you know, that would be okay. He was like, do it, just do it. And then funny enough, he's like, well, now at least you'll get paid, you know? he knew the endless hours, right, that I spent working on making sure that Amplify grew. And, you know, here we are, you know. And so Elias, I am so happy I did this because I've never been happier. I mean, not that I didn't love, you know, practicing law, because that, you know, I chose careers of service. And, you know, and in my law practice, I always focused on helping others and supporting people that, you know, were underserved and whatnot. But, you know, this is just, I mean, this is my calling, you know, like, I'm like, I'm so happy I did this. And, you know, and here we are.
I love that. I mean, like, I think that is very special, right? I really enjoyed that compared to like, I'm a C-level this, I'm a CEO, I founded this, I do that, to someone to say, this is my calling, right? I am so happy I did this. It's such a blessing.
Amen.
Especially, I love that, right? I think it's, I might sound stereotypical, but you, Latino, Latina choosing and saying, we love service, right? It's a common thing. We want to serve our community, right? Latinos especially. And that's something that I'm working at USF to create a combined major program, because the problem, right, is that we end up in professions of service, but they're not as well paid, right? Lawyer is the better one, right? Because you're like, yeah. I just want to help people, right? And so, combine that with computer science and other things to increase, right? Because the problem is when we have social worker, when we have teaching, when we have nursing, when we have all those things, right? It's like we end up, and that creates that economic gap, right? In the incomes and the jobs for Latinos. So I think you were so smart. You did law, but then in the end, you're going back to what you wanted, right? Maybe in the first place, you didn't know the place, but you created the place. Right. And he was there waiting for you.
Yes. Yes. Well, that's the thing. That's what's so beautiful about this, because, you know, I created, well, first of all, you said something very special, right? Because I could have gone back home where I was just like everyone else, you know, and I said, you know what? I feel like what I have to offer is more needed here than back home. Right. Yeah. And so at first I was like, I want to work here because I want to be able to serve, you know, the community, because I see that gap, right? Like there's not enough Spanish speaking, you know, attorneys who culturally understand the nuances of the community. Right.
Yeah.
And so, and that is what drove me, right, initially. And then I joined this community, this national community of attorneys, and I discovered this research, right, that is geared towards women in my position. And I said, and, you know, and I still had that need for community, right? So I, like you said, we built this community that all of a sudden expanded into something much bigger than we ever anticipated, because at first it was about executive leadership. And then to your point, we were approached by, you know, by some people, you know, specifically a philanthropist here in Boston, who said, you know, ladies, this is great that you're doing this, but we need more. Like, Latinos need to be more civically engaged. Latinos, we're not paying attention to the economic inequities. And then I don't know if you remember, like around that time, around 2015, the Federal Reserve had come out with the color of money, the study of the color of money. And we had been talking about it, right? And the city of Boston was offering salary negotiation workshops. And, you know, and so we were providing those to the women in our network. But then 2016 was a different year, right? Because we felt that Latinos were under attack in many ways, you know, in the national rhetoric during the election cycle. And, you know, and we said, you know, we've got to do more, because we know that economic power, if you will, and economic opportunity is tied to civic engagement. Mm-hmm. It's tied to so many other elements. There's intersectionality, you know, between access and opportunity and civic engagement. And so that is how Amplify was born. Wow. In 2017, because in 2016, the idea was presented to us. And so we launched our inaugural convening at the EMK Center, which is, you know, the Edward Kennedy Center for Politics and Policy, where there's a replica of the Senate floor, right? And so how powerful to bring together, you know, 300 Latinos in this space where people are like, oh my God, this is the seat of power. This is a replica of the seat of power. And how incredible would it be if we amplify each other in this way, right? And that's how we actually met you, right? Because then the following year, we hosted as a small business summit, a business summit, not at that point. Now we call it small business, but at that point it was a business summit. And we wanted to elevate stories like yours, right? Because what you've done is extraordinary. And so it's all about making sure that we're sharing those stories so that we inspire the next generation of leaders to come up the ranks, to see themselves in you and in others, so that they say, you know what, Elias did it, I can do it, right? Because he looks like me.
I mean, I think that's what I was going to say. I don't know if you know this, right? But I just Googled that talk. I remember it clearly. It was, I think I might have said the story before here, but like when I started working with David Cancel, Puerto Rican, you know, Ecuadorian, we started working together around 2008. I quit IBM after 10 years. And the day after I quit, like the week after, the recession hits, the crash. And then I'm like working at a 10-person startup with David. Three kids at home, and my wife, and it was just crazy. That was the beginning of my entrepreneurial career. And so I think that when I met him and when we started a company called Performable, I went to a conference. And when I went to that conference, I'm out there being a Latino social butterfly talking to everybody. And then I'm like, I'm a founder of a company, like that. But I have done nothing. I have no money. I have no success. I don't know anything. I'm just like barely an engineer. And they start calling him and they're like, who's this guy? You're starting a company with this guy? What, you know, is it the health? What's happening? And he calls me and he's like, listen, you know, are you going to work or you're going to be out there being a social butterfly in conferences, you know, doing nothing, right? And I was just like, I'm networking. No, work or conferences. So like... That was in 2009. So I never went to a conference ever again, right?
And, oh, my God.
And so when you guys came knocking at the door at Drift and they're like, we need you to attend this thing. And I'm like, no. And it's like, I am heads down. I work. I don't go to these things. And I've been mostly in a white world, right? My entire time in Boston and in tech. And I don't notice, I forget I'm Latino. But that day in that green room was kind of like an epiphany for me, because all of you were in that room, all the speakers, and it's like, so when you're going back to Puerto Rico, and where have you been, and so and so, and like, you know, it's like we're going to Dominican, and blah blah blah, and we're going to Miami, and I'm just like, and so, and I'm like, that warmth, I'm telling you, I was frozen. It was that day in that green room. It was that trailer in Government Center, and we were, and
yes. I
was like, what is this? This is like, you know, because I go to Florida with my family, my wife's family, like once a year. So I get all my Latino-ness like in one day, New Year's Eve, New Christmas type of thing. And I'm like, what is this? You know, and everybody just kissing each other, hugging. And I'm just like, this, I never go and talk at a place like this. And so it was a huge awakening for me. That day, right? And lo and behold, right? I gave that little speech about the marathon and the four minute mile breaking it, right? And that once you see somebody, and it's cliche, but it's like I still think it's the most impactful thing that we can do. You said it, right? Is like show people what you've done, and it inspires people to we're copycats, you know, like we're really the humanity is just like, we're like monkey see, monkey do, you know, and it is important to show that it's possible. And from that day on, I looked it up on Google. I think it was uploaded 4 years ago, right? It's just, so it's 19?
2018.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the fall of 2018.
It was the fall. Yeah, I gotta remember because that's the moment I started waking up and being like, oh, Latinos need help, right? Because I was just like just swimming and just trying to stay afloat, and you know, a lot has changed since then, for me, and it has started me on this path of figuring out how to help the community while I still do my thing, you know. But what you're saying might foreshadow who I become, you know, that I will leave what I'm doing, you know, from a business perspective and turn that into it, which I'm doing a lot of stuff to plant those, to create that foundation for me, you know. And there's a lot of things that you're saying that I'm paying attention, right, of what is the organization that we need as Latinos to help our community? Yeah.
Absolutely, Elias, because, well, you know, and going back to 2018 and just, you know, you probably remember that we not only did you feel that warmth from us and, you know, in the trailer in the green room, but also, you know, then in the audience, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, there were tears, you know, like it was just very heartfelt. And, you know, and I'm not saying tears to be overly dramatic. It was just like, you know, the stories of resilience and the stories of, you know, of grit and of strength, right, were just so palpable. And the energy in the room was just extraordinary. And I don't know if you remember after, you know, we went outside, we had a lechon.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it was like something that they had never seen, you know?
Yeah, no, the food was unreal.
The music, you know, and we got invited the following year, of course, because they were like, you guys are unique, right? And so, of course, you know, in 2019, we were at the Seaport. This year, speaking, you know, fast forward to 2024 now, right? What do we need? Well, you know what we're doing this year? We're not just having the business summit. We're also having an expo because we need to showcase the Latino business owners who are killing it, who are doing amazing work, but not everybody knows. And we don't want people to say, where are they? I mean, right. They're right here, just like with the talent, right? Because we work at the intersection of leadership representation, economic mobility, and policy advocacy and research, right? Because we want to make sure that we back up everything we do with research and when we're advocating for policy solutions that close opportunity gaps, whether it's for leadership or for economic mobility, that nobody can ever say that we're making up this information, right? Because there's plenty of data out there. We conduct our own research, but there's also plenty of data out there that demonstrates that Latinos are the fastest, you know, it's the fastest growing demographic. And Latinos are also starting businesses at a faster rate, right?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of innovation in our community. So why not showcase it? And why not, you know, make sure that we are normalizing the fact that the Latino community is a part of the fabric of this nation, right? Is an integral part of the fabric of this nation, and that Latino progress and prosperity is American prosperity, right? I mean, we're no different. I mean, we're part of this nation. We've been part of this nation. In fact, I mean, Spanish is the oldest non-native language spoken in this land.
Yeah,
spoken before English.
Absolutely.
So, but those stories aren't told. And it's important that we normalize the fact that, you know, that Latinos are here to stay and are here to contribute. Latinos are not takers. Latinos are givers. You said it earlier, right? We're about service, right? But how do we close those opportunity gaps so that there's more wealth in the Latino community and so that there are more Latinos in spaces like you and me, right? Because we're the lucky ones.
Yeah.
We're the ones that, you know, that get to be in spaces where we have the opportunity to open doors for others. And so that's what we're doing.
I agree. I think that when I hear the word government, my eyes just like gloss over. I'm just like, what? No, I don't like it. I don't want to deal with it. It's too slow. But we need you, right? Because there is policy that affects us negatively. And somebody has to fight that fight. and we have to figure out. And it's just a big systemic problem that we have. And my heart, like my soul hurts. You know, it just keeps growing on me, the pain of what Latinos have to go through and the discrimination or the inequality of access to opportunities and wealth building chances, right? It pains me. It's something that is changing me, I'm telling you. Every time I get to be in very privileged places and I'm going around the country and the world, and I see people all the time, and I'm just like, one day it's going to be a Latino in that seat. You know, I get to meet people of all kinds. And I'll say something silly, right? But I was with Jack Nicklaus, right? The greatest golfer there ever was, right? And I'm watching him speak. And I met him. I spent a little bit of time with him. I was at a PGA Tour event. I spoke at a conference in Los Cabos last week. And I look at him, right? And my soul says, kind of like we have a Serena, right? Kind of like, you know, we have different representatives in different sports that just were inaccessible to us, right? Because of the finances, right? I look at Jack, I look at golf, and I'm like, one day we're going to have somebody like, you know, worshiping. Everybody there was worshiping the audience, this man that accomplished so much, but why is not going to be like a Latino golfer? So I just, wherever I go, I just see like a Latino artist, a Latino CEO, a Latino lawyer, a Latino entrepreneur, a Latino this, a Latino that.
The opportunity.
It's like, yes. And so like what I'm trying to think when you said that at the Bar Association and you brought the executives together here is like, it's like we need a way to like people commit it and say like, I don't know, pick five major practices, right? And get law, medicine, tech, this, and just create organizations and chapters throughout the United States where they say like, well, five Latina lawyers are going to go make another five Latina lawyers, right? I don't know, like something like that, right? That says, let's go into our communities, let's reach out and let's say to the kids, like, look at me, you know, what do you want to do? Look at this, look at us, look at this five people. Pick one.
Exactly.
We just need to put people in those places and say they'll be fine, but they just need to know that path exists and their support they have. You know, I went to University of South Florida. It was her name is Donna Perino. She came to the high school. I forget how it was, but it was USF Latina Scholarship, and I felt, wow, this is my people, and they're gonna help me. I'm gonna go to college. They're gonna pay for my college, you know. And there was a bank called First Union Bank, became Wachovia, that was one of the sponsors of my scholarship, right? And then I went and met the president of that bank, and she was like welcoming into her office and like a meet and greet, you know. Like I met the president of the Bank of Florida for First Union. She was a Black woman, and she was just like, "We're sponsoring you." You know what I mean? And I was like, she was Black. She was probably Panamanian, I think. She must have been Latina too or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just blown away, right? By there was Donna, there was the president of the bank. They brought me in. You're going to go to college. Do your thing. And
Love it.
I did the rest, right? So we need that, right?
And that's exactly what we were doing, you know, at the Hispanic National Bar Association, because the commissioners, like we would travel to wherever the conferences were. So we had, you know, two conferences a year. And then plus then we had a legislative day in Washington, D.C. So everywhere we went, we would come together and look for groups of little kids, of little girls, particularly where we could visit and engage with the girls and talk about entering a career in the law. And so I was doing that at the national level. You know, we're going to different cities across the nation. And then I said, I got to bring it back home, you know, because I was very involved here with Big Brother, Big Sister in Boston. But you know, it was not just Latino, and I felt like this, we need something like this, right? And so that, you know, that is the genesis of who we are nowadays, right? And we want to stay true to that. Like, there's always a, you know, a mentoring component to everything we do, because the reality is that our community is very young, and we need to make sure that the next generation is lifted up and is, you know, is elevated and is motivated to, you know, to enter spaces that they belong, right? That they feel that they belong.
The door should be open, you know, and we need to open the doors for them. Exactly. I'm a little of a pessimist in that it's hard to fix everything in the short term, right? I mean, I think I've been fortunate, you know, some people have highlighted to me, like, what I've been able to create in one generation of coming into this country myself, right? Setting foot here as a resident, as an alien, right? It takes other people many generations, especially an average Latino takes about 6 to 8 generations to accomplish what I have accomplished here. So I have to believe that it can be done shorter, but at the same time, I'm thinking of the next generation, right? I'm just thinking of like get them in college or right before college, right? And set them on a track and connect them to the right places. And that's kind of what I'm trying to figure out, you know?
I mean, I think, you know, you just said it. I think the key is in having somebody opening doors for you and, you know, and being at the right place at the right time with the right people. Right. And I think part of the, you know, of what we need to teach the next generation is, like, you know, don't be shy, go for opportunities, ask questions, you know, volunteer, be part of this. Cause I would have never been inspired to be in this space right now had I not volunteered to be in, you know, involved in, you know, with the Latina Commission, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, in your case, you had people who opened doors for you, right? You know, I had people who opened doors for me. And so it's about that awareness and that understanding of the importance of looking for opportunities and not just sitting there, you know, and then once somebody opens the door for you, then you go back and open the door for somebody else, right? And so when we started, we used to always say, you know, we want to lift as we climb, right? We want to make sure that we're bringing up the next generation, because it's great to have, you know, a certain level of access and opportunity, but then, you know, what about those that come behind us?
Lift as we climb, you know, it just does not convey the entire weight of that phrase ever. I mean, you said it earlier, right? It's like, I mean, I'm just looking at the impact of what you've done and what you created and how it has affected my life. You know what I mean? To then start becoming, you know, a life of service, right? It's the beginning of it. It's just so powerful what you're doing, right? And I think that, you know, want to support what you're doing. I think this is amazing. And unbelievable, right? I just think that sometimes we just, I don't know, it's like when we're in business, we're like, oh, community, okay, let's do this, volunteer. And this is the most powerful thing that we can do. You know, it's just volunteer with our time, with our resources. And we change one life at a time. But if everybody was doing it, this would be crazy. Yeah.
And also being intentional about it, right? Yeah. Like, you know, like it's not just volunteer to volunteer. It's like, you know, what is the impact that this is going to have, right? And I mean, you're a perfect example. I mean, you've been incredibly successful and now you're paying it forward. Yeah. Now you have your foundation. I mean, you support us, you support many other organizations, and, you know, and you're like opening doors, right? You know, with your, you know, with the access that you've had in your life.
Yes,
so, and the opportunities that you've had. So that's what it's all about, right? Making sure that we're looking at the impact that our actions are going to have on, you know, on us, on those around us, and on, you know, and then, you know, kind of like in different circles, right? Yeah. And that's how we, you know, that's how we look at what we aim to accomplish, right? Like we want to make sure that we're advancing the next generation of Latino prosperity.
And Ada, thank you so much. This is just the surface of what's possible, and I hope people are able to get and appreciate the value of community, right? And spending time and volunteering and giving to this communities, because we need to build our community, make it stronger. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it.
Gracias.
And I'll see you soon.
Great to see you.
Thank you for listening to the American Dream Podcast. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss a new episode. And share the episode with your friends. Our work isn't done until everyone has equal access to their dreams.